Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast, two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing their way through parenthood.
Thanks so much, guys, for joining us this week. Our guest is the talented Elise Blaha Kripe. She was one of the first people to start blogging in 2005. She has sold letterpress prints, wooden plant stands, created the amazing Get to Work book in 2015. She hosts the awesome Elise Gets Crafty podcast that you guys should definitely check out. And her new book just came out in August. It's called 100 Pep Talks, and it is beautiful if you haven't seen it.
Yes.
So she lives in San Diego, California with her husband, Paul, and her two daughters, Ellery and Piper, who
cutest
are
cutest names
precious.
Ever.
So, welcome to the podcast, Elise.
Thank
can we,
you.
Can we clap her in from California?
We can clap her in.
Yeah, we should definitely clap.
San
Do you have any applause?
Can throw
in we'll throw it in. We'll have sound effects. Yeah.
It's February in Missouri, so I'm kind of mad at you for choosing California.
Yeah.
Why? You know, yeah, it's been awesome. Like, what we're complaining. Well, we finally got enough rain, so that's good. But yeah, I was in like a t-shirt all day, so it's good. Not too bad.
Man, your work day's not even over yet. What time is it there?
No, it's 4:10. We're recording a little early.
It's 6 here.
It's 6 o'clock and dark.
Missouri has stuff.
Yeah. It'll get dark.
We have dark. We have darkness. If you love darkness and cold, you would love Missouri.
Yeah. You would love Missouri.
Paid for by Missouri.
Travel agency.
Speaking of being paid for, we can't really continue until we thank our amazing sponsor for this episode.
Yeah, get the sponsors out of the way up front.
Okay, I'm going to warn you, this sponsor's it's a little uncomfortable.
They were really excited about it when they heard we were having you on. They got really excited, and we thought it might be awkward, but then we were like, she's cool.
And they gave us so much money.
We couldn't turn them down.
Right. So this episode is brought to you by blogging.
Oh.
That's uncomfortable.
I know you guys have had an on and off again relationship, so we asked them if it would be weird, and they were like, no, I can't contact her directly.
Because of like a restraining order?
Legal stuff. Yeah. But if I go through you guys, then technically maybe she'll have me
I'm making it a myth. He sounds like he's having trouble letting go of you.
I feel like blogging is definitely a woman, but maybe not. I don't know.
It's a corporation with money.
It's a corporation. Blogging Incorporated.
So what do you know about blogging, Elise?
Yeah, what do I know? Well, I know it's hard to quit blogging. Blogging, like, I like to say, this is going to sound just awful, but for me, like, quitting blogging felt like a breakup where you know how when you're in a relationship for way too long and you're done, like, you're so done, but you're scared to quit, or you're like, oh, I can't, we'll keep going, it's almost the holidays, whatever, you know, you got to stick it out. but then when you finally quit, you're like, oh, this is so amazing. But the problem is people who read your blog don't know that everything's rocky, and so you quit, and they're like, wait, what?
How
to hook up with thousands of people at the same time?
And blogging's so, like, we seem so happy.
You spend a lot of time, like, explaining, like, no, I don't really blog anymore, you know, but it's over. And so, I mean, I appreciate blogging for reaching out on behalf of you guys.
Yeah, well,
I'm
glad they speak a lot.
Yeah, well, yes. He sounded a little bit pathetic on the phone. I'm not going to lie to you. Sorry, blogging, for saying that.
Sorry, they're supposed to be like positive taglines.
Okay, sorry. Okay, I'll get in the game. Okay, so we need some taglines for blogging, from blogging to Elise.
Right, okay.
Okay, blogging. You're taking the L off of lover? It's over?
What?
But Elise.
No.
It's me.
Blogging. Let's see. Okay, I'll try to think of a tag.
You got this, Shaylee.
For blogging.
Try to top that one.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
I read that on a card once, actually.
No.
I did too.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Blogging. I miss you.
You started blogging in 2005? What format were you on there? WordPress?
So, yeah, Christmas Day 2005. No, it was like the only two options were Blogger and TypePad back then.
Which one did you choose?
Or like, I mean, obviously LiveJournal and all the other like random, but that was what it was. And so everyone who back then, there was so little that you could actually do. Like, it like had to be three columns and like you had one font. And so TypePad at the time had the most options. And so I was TypePad. And then I stayed Typepad.
We should have made it Typepad, the sponsor.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
I mean, not that we made this up. Because this is real.
Okay,
that's real. Typepad was a better choice than Blogger in 2005.
Yeah, well, that's our tagline.
Blogging. Typepad is better than Blogger. Blogger's like,
hey! I don't even know. That's like a whole nother world to me, man.
Oh, okay. Ready?
Blogging.
Thanks,
blogging.
Okay, so now that we've fulfilled our
changed
obligation
your heart
to our sponsor, and now that you guys are back together, that's not true, we can get to the meat here. We want to hear about your journey to owning your own business. We'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, blogging. Not just a little plug in there for blogging. Definitely started things. So I was in college. I was 20. And I was a business major. And I started a blog because, like, that's kind of – people were starting to blog. So, okay, I'll blog, you know. But I was in college, and it wasn't like blogging was a career. There wasn't sponsors or anything interesting. But I wanted to share kind of what was going on, what I was up to. That was my junior year of college. My senior year, I started interviewing for a lot of different companies. Like, I thought I would do something real corporate track and, you know, work in a tall building and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't get any job offers. I got tons of interviews. I flew all over the country, like, to interview with big companies, and no one wanted to hire me. Simultaneously, I was dating my now husband, and he was living in Maryland. I'm from California. I was in California. So he was in Maryland for med school, and he was like, well, do you want to come, you know, live with me, and you can't get a job, and we'll figure something out here? And I was like, well, that sounds like a good option.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll try that, you know. And I moved to Maryland and started working at a paper store called Paper Source.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, it was my dream job, in that, you know, I got to play with paper all day. That's what I liked to do.
Right.
So I worked for full-time retail for about a year. And then kind of what was great about it is retail is very, like, you go to work and you do your job and you go home. Like, that was it. You know, it's not like you're dealing with email or big issues. Or, you know, it was very black and white hours. And so I had, you know, 40 hours of work a week, and then I had a lot of free time. And so I was able to start doing a lot of things on the side, and I would share things on the blog, and then it opened up an Etsy shop to sell some of the things that I shared. And so that kind of grew, you know, over time, slowly, like, just, I would say, like, my path, it was, like, very much creeping. Like, it never, there was never a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. You know, I'm here now. Mm-hmm. Never. I'm still not here. I'm still trying.
You're there.
No, I mean, it's so funny, like, you see, that's true. Like, you got
I mean, I think you've officially made it when you're on our podcast.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Said no one ever.
Sponsored by blogging. I mean, come on.
I know.
All of it. The whole industry.
When my husband finished med school, we got married and moved to San Diego. And instead of trying to come up with, like, another job or trying to go work somewhere else, I was like, let's see if I can do this by myself. Like, you know, if I can make my retail salary working for myself, let's call it good. And he was like, okay, you know, we'll try that, I guess. And yeah, so that first year I was able to do that. And then kind of since then, it's just been slow growth, like pulling different things together. Where I finally feel like things clicked was with Get to Workbook, which is my planner. And that just, it finally felt,
beautiful.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. The whole website, I'm like, I do want to get to work.
I want to get to all of that. I don't know if I want to get, I want to touch everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news. That's the goal. So yeah, I mean, once, like, that just kind of felt like, you know how when you're on your career path or you're on your whatever path, when you're doing it, like, it doesn't really make sense, but then you look back and you're like, oh, of course, like, I can see how that turned into that, and now this is this. In retrospect, it all was kind of leading here, but for, you know, 10 years, I was just kind of doing one thing at a time and seeing what would click.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So how long did it take for you to make that retail salary, did you say?
Yeah.
So it wasn't huge. I was making $30,000. So I
didn't mean for you to have to tell us, but that's very nice.
So, like, what was your take home after taxes? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
And my social security number.
Fantastic.
I mean, so it wasn't, like, I mean, obviously $30,000 is not cheap, but it wasn't like I had to do something insane. So I was kind of doing both, like working like side hustle, right? So I'm working a full-time job and I'm doing stuff on the side. And so I was building that side business as I was working. And so when I quit my job, it was just, I had a year and I made that money, you know, for myself.
I have several friends, I feel like, and probably a lot of our listeners, most of which are creative entrepreneurs, either before kids or after, but a lot of them that are doing the whole full-time job that I'm desperate to get out of and then side hustling. And they're always like, I just feel like I have to, you know, the stability and the job and the paycheck. And I'm like, but if you were putting 40 hours a week into what you're doing right now and you're outside, like you would kill it. I promise. Just get enough to live for 6 months. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What would your advice be? Because I get that a lot. And I've never done it, like gone from straight full-time to.
Yeah. So that's a great question. And I think like the biggest thing that I'm extremely aware of, and I feel like it's important, is my husband had a stable job, you know, like he had health insurance and he had, so that is a luxury that I fully understand that I had, you know, I knew that he would continue to make his salary and he was going to be able to do health insurance for us. And that was great. Mm-hmm. So I think that for me, having that in place was important. I would also say, a recommendation I've read somewhere, I don't know exactly where, is if you're kind of doing both at the same time and you can try just saving your real job salary, like just saving that and see if you can live off what you're doing. Like, you pretend that you're not making that, whatever that is, you know, and just see how it goes. If you have some sort of job where you're a little, it can be a little flexible. Like I got lucky where, again, retail, you know, I was able to cut down, like, okay, now I'm just going to work 4 days a week. Now I'm going to work three. And so if, depending on your career, whatever you're in, if you're able to do that, like go down to part-time, see how it goes. And then I think you're totally right though, that you don't realize like how much 40 hours is. But going cold turkey, like going from not having much time to work to 40 hours dedicated to yourself to work, you're like, wow, look at all this time. Like I can spend 6 hours on Pinterest. And, you know, like it's almost like you need to kind of ease in or else you go nuts.
Totally.
Going slow isn't a bad thing, you know, if you have the luxury to kind of cut back slowly. But also, you know, what I like to think is true is that the worst case, you can't do it and you go back to your real job. You know, like that's not the end of the world. So don't burn any bridges.
Don't leave like that flight attendant when he popped the beer and pulled the ripcord on the slide and like cussed everyone out on his way down. It was a hard day. It was a hard day for him.
Well, then can I ask, so the next stage in the journey, at least I guess for me, is you're like 40 hours is so much. And then you have a kid.
Then you throw a little baby in there.
So can you explain how you had to adjust your business or your daily life once you had a kid?
Yeah. So
your kids are how old, first of all?
My older daughter is 3.5. She'll be 4 in June. And my younger daughter is 15 months.
15 months exactly on the 6th.
Yes.
My daughter is 15 months exactly on the 6th. So
same
we have
birthday.
Twin babies.
That's yes.
Birthday.
Yes. Aww.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So I think, so people who've kind of like, if you read my blog when I had my older daughter, if you were kind of following, I had a disastrous time like adjusting to having a baby. And I think it's kind of like what I was saying. Like, you know, I went from working from home by myself, you know, no pressures on me, no, or, you know, whatever, you do your job, but that's it, to having a kid at home. And our original plan was, you know, we weren't thinking I was like, I'm super organized, I'll be great at this. Right. And we weren't thinking about anything. And so we didn't really have a childcare plan. Like, I just thought I could kind of do both at the same time, which is insanity. So I lost it. I was pretty crazy for about a year. And then I think what happened is you just get better at it. Like, you know, like you get a little bit better. Like I always let people say things like, you know, how did you do two things at once or three things at once or four things? And it's like you do one and then you slowly add in the second and then you slowly add on in the third and you find out three things is too many. So you drop one, you're back to two. And so it's not that it's and I still struggle all the time. I still think it's crazy difficult to have kids and have a real job too. And anything. I mean, it's crazy just to have kids.
Right. Yeah.
But I have found that it gets easier. I found that, like, being super honest about what you can commit to and what you can't, and, like, I realized that every time I say yes to something, like, I'm saying no to my family. Ooh. And so that's
good.
Bad and good. Yeah, right? Like, it's like, it makes it easier, I think, to say no to other people, because it's like, if I say no to something else, I get to say yes to them, or I get to say yes to myself, right? So that helps too.
Yeah, you have a defined amount of time that is now smaller, or you have to decide. Yeah, that's such a good way to look at it. Like, every time you say, even if it's a good thing, if you say yes to it, then you're saying no to time with your kids. I'm kind of doing the Elise first child juggle right now. And everyone was like, you work from home. Like, what are you going to do for childcare? I'm like, I'm just going to, like, do it all. Like, she'll be at my leg and I'll be, like, editing videos and then, like, start a podcast with my friend, because that sounds fun, when she was, like, 3 months old.
Right.
And so I got my gallbladder taken out in there. So it's been kind of a – I've been at the point where, like, it'll get really late at night and I'll start, like, Googling Mother's Day Out programs and, like – and then I'm like, what am I doing? No, stop. So I have a mother that lives in town that's made it possible, but I'm definitely – now that we're in the range of, like, thinking about if we ever get pregnant again type range – and you are there, where I'm like, what do you, you barely get to where you can manage it, and then you throw another one in, like, you get good at it, and then you start over, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
well, that's, my husband and I, like, you know, we'll be out to dinner with both the girls, or we'll be doing anything, we'll be, like, just at breakfast,
trying,
you know,
to
at
live. Our house. trying to live.
We'll look at each other, and we'll be like, can we believe that we thought one was hard? Like, one was so hard,
such
you
a
know?
Breeze. The newborn, when we were like, I'm afraid to go to the grocery store. What if she, her eyes open silently?
Silently. Exactly. Oh. She's awake. She's awake. Put her in the cart. And I know that, but I'm still in the, I only have one, so I don't know any different. So I realize that it's crazy, but I'm still the stressed out mom of one.
Right.
And I know, like, and it's going to be worse, but.
Yeah. I don't know. I have this theory, though, and it's been disproven often, but my theory continues. Like, I think that the harder your first one was, the easier your second one feels. And vice, like, I have girlfriends who thought the first kid was so easy, and then the second kid, they're like, what is happening? And then for me, like, I thought the first kid was so hard, and the second kid, even though she cried harder, things were, like, a little bit crazier, she it seemed so much easier. So I don't know, I think it's like what you come into it with.
And but maybe my that's too, because, like, you're better at, like, you don't have to have hand sanitizer every 12 inches in the house. You're like, she'll be good. I don't know.
Yeah, I think exactly. I think, like, you're calmer and you're just – you realize, like, everything's a phase, right? Like, I think with the first kid, you're like, oh, my gosh, this is how things are now forever.
Forever.
And second kid, you're like, this will be 2 weeks and it'll be hard, but it's 2 weeks, you know? So that helps. But also, my older daughter goes to daycare. Like, she's in school full-time Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then – half days on Tuesday, Thursday. And Piper, when she is 18 months, is going to go at least a few days a week. So, like, I'm not trying to do all of this with them both all the time either. And that's been hugely helpful.
That's good. So how long did you go before you decided that school option, daycare option was a good way?
Yeah, with Ellery, she was about 15 months. And so before that, I'd have...
I feel like you're speaking into my soul.
I think you are.
This is the day. Okay, this is it. Like, before that, I'd had a girl who came by who was great. She came for, like, 3 to 6 hours a week. And like, you think you're like, 3 to 6 hours a week, but that's, like, amazing,
oh,
right?
No, I have a two-hour fifth grader that's homeschooled that comes by, and she's, like, my angel.
Yeah, exactly. And so for me, like, with... I struggled so much with this idea of daycare, putting her in. And it just got to the point where I was like, I can't do it. I can do this. And I can. Like, I can. Like, of course I can physically do it. But, like, I was getting so angry for no reason, like, at her, at my husband, at myself, just angry. And, you know, it got to the point where not going to daycare was scarier than going to daycare.
Yeah.
So –
yeah.
That's when I knew it was kind of time. And for us, it's been great. Like, her language and social skills and everything. I mean, she's blossomed in such a good way. And so even if I didn't need the help for Piper, I still want her to go, because it's been so great for Ellery.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, too, parents are like, oh, no, they just want to be in the house that they literally are in all of the time. They want to be there all the time because that's what's best for them is their mom. And then you take them to, like, a Mother's Day Out, or even for, like, few hours, and they're like, oh my gosh,
This is amazing, friends. Toys I've never seen.
Fun exactly. People whose job is just to sit there and give me 100% of their attention when my mom's trying to like blog during the day. You know, I think it's best for her, but what's really best for her sometimes isn't what I perceive it as in my mind always.
Yeah, right? Maybe so. I should start daycare.
Yeah. Do you want to run a get to daycare and we'll just drop our kids off at your house? By the way, your mom's in town, is that right?
Yes.
And you're giving us precious mom's in town time, which that is so right sweet of you. Moment. This moment is your mother.
She's here. Yeah, my husband literally picked her up at the airport and they walked in and I like dashed in and did some emails and hopped on with you guys. So
Thank you, Mom. Brought to you by moms.
Yeah, my mom's in Sacramento and I'm in San Diego, so it's a flight. But she comes down about once a week each month and is extremely helpful. I mean, she does stuff like this, like, you know, gives me a chance to do projects that take longer than 5 minutes.
Right.
And then, like, helps me get the business kind of back, like, cleaned. And the warehouse is a disaster because I have Piper, like, there with me. And so we kind of, like, get back to square one every week or every month. It's like a reset.
She comes and then a whole week once a month.
Yes.
Oh, that's magical. Awesome.
Yes.
I get my mom all the time, though, so I won't complain about
it. Mom? You're listening.
She's probably not.
Elise's mom.
Wins that. No, that's good, though. And I think even what you said about doing something that takes longer than 5 minutes, I think that's my problem is I try to do, like, there's so many things I can do when I'm half-braining it for 5 minutes at a time. Right. And then there's those tasks that you just need a solid 4 hours of no interruption and like not worrying about what they're eating, sitting in the living room or whatever.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've taken a break in your journey to self-employment to coach us on our childcare options.
Yeah. No, but I think that that's the most important thing. I think people who are trying to like work at home with kids is realizing the difference between those activities. You know, like I would never use nap time to like fold laundry, right? Because I can fold laundry with the kids.
Exactly. Or I can do that with a kid climbing on me. What are you talking about? I'm not doing laundry right now.
I would never go grocery shopping or run an errand when the kids are at daycare Ellery's at daycare because I can bring them. They can both come with me. Like that it's kind of like that those projects that are going to take longer because you have kids. That's okay if they're not the really intense, like, focused work stuff. So it's, like, knowing the difference between those activities.
Yes. I've even thought of that as, like, no, going to Target's our whole afternoon activity takes up all of the time. They're like, that's terrible. That's a terrible thing to think. But, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
So, well, good. I might have to.
Well, just to clue you into my journey, Elise, I have 3 kids.
Oh my God!
Katie wins.
No, it's bad.
The third one. How do you hold up?
They're all in the cart.
You strap them to your body.
When you go grocery shopping, you put them all in the cart, and then as your cart gets fuller, you start kicking them out one by one.
Oldest first.
It's not great. Sometimes they never leave the cart. I just hide them under like the frozen broccoli. And I'm like,
we did a whole podcast episode that's just called Getting Out with Kids.
And it's just me describing
it's
3
just
kids.
Katie trying to tell us how she does it.
But
it's like a play by play.
I'm feeling convicted because that first year you talked about. I'm on year 6 of it.
Go on.
I'm on year 6 of it and I keep not giving in.
You're like, this is the best thing for all of us.
It's the best. And then I'm like, well, she's 6 now. I've made it because she can go to public school. and then I decided to homeschool.
And she decided to homeschool.
What's wrong with me?
And Katie runs like a really successful photography business.
What is wrong with me?
They moved out to a farm.
Elise, I'm putting them all in daycare tomorrow.
Yeah, I commend you, and I think
don't encouraging her. You can't do it all.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it right.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of ways to drive yourself insane. So I think it's like, I mean, I feel like not that you're literally asking, but like,
no, we're asking.
If you feel good about it, most days, that's all I can hope for.
Well, I'd say the way that I'm different is that each year I have scaled back on my business. So each year it's like, how much do I love this business versus
how much client work do I want to take on versus,
So each year I've just scaled back a little bit. So I don't know. I'm still figuring it out in real time, as the podcast listeners know. But
as we all are, right? I mean, that's why I quit blogging, is because I got to the point where I could spend time on the blog or I could not. That's what it came down to. And
how much were you posting and everything?
I was posting. I was posting daily, so Monday through Saturday for consistently for 7 years. Like, I mean, I had the blog for 10, but I was like on it like a blogger, career blogger, for a really long time. And like, it wasn't crazy. Like, it was just once a day. I mean, once a day, but like,
just
you know,
once
a
day. For the whole life, 7 years.
It wasn't like crazy amazing DIYs every day, you know, but there was something, like there was photos and words every day. And I was so in it, and like I thought I was so in the habit, like it felt like the thing to do, until I realized that like I was kind of spinning my wheels over something that wasn't, it definitely wasn't like fulfilling me anymore. And part of it was that Get to Workbook was exciting and going, and I wanted to be working on that. And then part of it was I wanted a business that existed different than my life, right? Like, the idea that you could find Get to Workbook and buy it and like it and enjoy it and have no idea who I am. Right. Versus like the blog was so connected to me and my kids How do you ever step back from that? Like, I couldn't figure out how I would ever get out of it.
And every moment was kind of like, wait, this would be good for the blog. Am I wasting it? Am I wasting this moment? Capture this.
Oh, yeah.
I need to write about it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. So the podcast to you, we're both like, oh, man, every week kind of sneaks up on you. But you're like, oh, my gosh, once a week.
Even like for the podcast, like I'm kind of on a break right now until I get Piper back into daycare, because it's like, you know, when my mom comes down once a week, do I want to have 5 interviews that I have get done? You know,
thank you for doing that. You're just gonna spend your time being on everyone else's podcast.
I hop in yours and I record it and then I hop out. Right. When it's my own, I got to do all the work.
Right.
For it.
Yeah.
Like, you can hop in anytime you want. Yeah, you just let us know.
Hop right
Tuesday
in.
Tuesday nights, man. Tuesday nights.
Well, so that's smart. Like, you guys record every Tuesday night. Like, this is your window.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Which we have a girls group that meets every other Tuesday night.
Yeah, we do it every other Tuesday.
So every other Tuesday night we meet and record at least 2. Mm-hmm. And her husband has kid duty on Tuesday nights. And so that's our time.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Smart. Yeah. That's what I need to, like, I need to have mine like that.
What you need is a partner to do half of the work for you.
That's what you need.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, also, like, chemistry. Like, you guys get to have natural chemistry as a co-host, which is so important. Like, I do think I need a co-host.
Or, like, 2 co-hosts. I'm just kidding.
Shaylee, you're making it uncomfortable now.
Shaylee and Katie and Elise, get crafty.
I'm just kidding. Shaylee, you're sounding a lot like blogging right now.
It was me. It wasn't blogging. It was me.
It was Shaylee the whole time.
No, but that's so true. We tried. There was one time we were separate, and Katie was like,
I don't like it.
No, she was like, hey, can you record? No, you wanted me to record like something, like an intro, or we needed to add a new ending or something. And so like, I went in the closet.
Just a little call.
And I got my headphones on and I was like, Shaylee and Katie. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I'm not having a conversation with someone and it becomes like, Shaylee the voiceover artist. And I'm not that. So I could see that being a little bit more like, gotta pressure. Like hype yourself up to like, go after. But having guests, you have like appointments.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, having guests is good, you know, but if you don't, and I have some people on who I know in real life, I see them, and naturally like our chemistry is better, right? We have something that's going on, but when it's like new people with exciting stories, but I don't necessarily know them, it's a little bit scarier, right? Like I have to kind of gear up.
We understand.
Yeah. So every time we get ready to like get on, we're kind of like, so I wonder how this is going to go.
Elise,
we're terrified of you right now.
No. You're very easy.
You're easy.
Oh, good.
You're easy. Good. If you're just tuning in, Shaylee has called Elise easy.
Easy to talk to.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Whew! That was close.
Okay.
Blogging's like, yeah, she is. Now he's mad. He's like trashing you now. He's that type of ex-boyfriend.
No, he's not.
No. Okay.
No, that's good. Sorry. We don't have our don't interrupt sticky note out tonight.
We do normally write
Don't interrupt. Normally we have one and we stick it right there. And then
it's a problem.
Don't interrupt.
Okay, circling back. So you quit blogging. Part of it was your time. Part of it was your mental capacity, being able to separate work from life.
You weren't enjoying, it wasn't fulfilling, bringing joy to you anymore to do it. And mm-hmm. then it just turns into,
why am I doing it?
Job.
And, yeah.
And then you found a way to, I'm assuming you had monetized your blog is part of why you had.
So that's where things, like a big reason why I was able to step away is I hadn't in a huge way. Like my blog was my number one tool to market my business, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't, like I made some money from affiliates for sure. Mm-hmm. But I didn't make, it's not like I had crazy, wonderful sponsored posts that paid a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a staff. It's not like I had people who worked for me who, you know, there was no real thing. So I always tell people, like, if you love a blog, you want to see sponsored posts on that blog. Because if you're not seeing sponsored posts on that blog can quit at any time.
Right.
You know, that's a good thing to have sponsored posts.
When they're
posts.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. Right. That suntan lotion sponsored that post. It's like, well, they're not going to work for free for you forever.
Yeah. So right.
Give them a break.
Yes. And so for me, that was like the easiest part is I knew that even if, like, I was I had, you know, a decent enough Instagram following that I could kind of, I know that Instagram, all social platforms aren't the same as, like, your own dedicated website. I get it. But I didn't really care. Like, I got to the point where I was over it enough that, like, even if everything collapsed, I had to be done anyway. You know, mm-hmm. I would rather have, like, gone back to a real job and sat at a desk for someone else, which is a bad thing. Like, I wish I hadn't got quite to that point where I didn't like it so much, because that's too bad. Like, it's too bad that I waited so long that it became, like, such a drag.
It literally is like a relationship when you, like, drag it out long enough to where you, like, hate them instead of leaving and you're like, we can still hang out and be friends.
Which I would relate that to. So I'm a wedding photographer and I was feeling the same way of, like, wow, I shot 30 weddings this year. That's a lot of money. This could be a dream job, or I could quit next year because I could make myself hate this. So it's kind of like that idea of, I don't know, the moderation of maybe I do 10 weddings a year and I can actually continue to do this for 20 years. It's like a, I don't know, looking at it in a long-term investment versus like something you burn
and then
out and
take that extra time and do a podcast for free.
And do a podcast for free.
Well, blogging, though, pays so much money to you guys.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Blogging does.
What do you mean by free?
We're working on it.
Yeah. No,
thank you, Elise, for keeping her.
I think that that's huge. Like that realization. Right. I could have cut back, you know, to a post a week or whatever. Like, two posts, something. And if I had done that probably, you know, 2 years earlier, things might have been different. But, yeah, I got to that point. So, yeah, I mean, you know, like, it's bad. It's tough to say because I don't have too much to base it on. It's not like I had 6 years of Get to Work book, you know, where I was constantly promoting it through the blog, and now I have – I can't really compare. I can't say if financially it's been worse or better, but my, like, quality of life has been amazingly better.
Which is so valuable.
Yeah, and the business is fine. You know, it's good. I'm happy with it, and so – that's been a good lesson. I wish I didn't have to have learned it so, like, dragged out, but
how did your audience deal with, like, the blog going
breaking up?
If I'm like a Elise obsessed person that's like every day I'm
you
like
you follow her on Instagram now.
I'm eating I do. I'm Instagram I look at Instagram. I don't really read a ton of blogs. I look at, like, Instagram like little visual blogs, and that's kind of how I get to know people, and then someone's like, oh yeah, I know them from their blog. I'm like, they have a blog? So I'm probably not the normal person, but
I think for some people they kind of saw the writing on the wall, like, because and that was, you know, so funny. Like, when I said I was going to quit, people were like, I could tell you were so over it.
Hey!
You know, and then
what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, I don't know. And then
your posts have been a little, your posts have been kind of gray, a lot of rainy weather pictures.
Yeah, you know, and then there are other people like, what? Or, you know, this is, and it's because it was a habit. Like, it was a habit for me, it was a habit to read. And as a blog reader myself, I don't read many anymore. Mostly because there's not that many left. But when I did read them, I would follow and I would be so interested in. And so I get it. Like, I get that your part of your day is now different. I still – but I what I thought is that I would miss it. Like, right. I thought that I'd wake up and be like, wow, this is sad. And the reality was I didn't at all. And so it was kind of
you wake up difficult. And you're like, I live in San Diego. I think I'm going to take my two daughters and go to the park. Peace out, blogging.
And not worry about
it. And not tell anyone about it.
Right. Exactly. Is it ironic that you quit blogging? Would it have been categorized as like a lifestyle blog, a DIY?
I always called it like a personal craft blog. Like I would say it was lifestyle blog, but not in the way that lifestyle blogs now are.
Right.
So like lifestyle-y. So it was like, it wasn't as styled as some lifestyle.
So in a way,
it was like a life blog.
It was like a real life blog. So in a way you took a crafting blog of all these ladies with all this time to craft. And then you were like, I'm not going to blog. Get to work.
Yeah, I like it. That's the moral.
Stop doing all those crafts and get to work, ladies. Get to work.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is it's like, and what I always say to people now, you know, is I used to write about all the stuff I was doing. Mm-hmm. And you can do so much more stuff if you're not writing
about it. Talking about it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Oh,
that's my part brain of my, just exploded. I know. That's part of my, okay, this is going to sound maybe thing. A little bit snarky. I have sometimes I think I have a snarky heart and I have to stop myself. But I will say, sometimes when I read very like, post after post after post about all the like wedding photography achievements, I'm like, oh, I haven't had time to talk about any of that because I was like shooting weddings and like being present there, which is snarky.
Yeah.
And
I'm just yeah, I mean, I that's such an accurate point. Like, you know, sometimes you just you don't have the time to talk about, you don't even have the time. Yeah, you don't have the time to talk about it. You don't have the time to promote it because you're just doing it. Like you're so in it. Yeah.
Right. Which that's good. That's that's all good information. I just feel like I need to like
Shaylee's like okay.
Take it in.
At least just change my life in three ways.
Put my kid in and put
digest.
Opal into Mother's Day Out and then I'm gonna get to work and pay for it with all that time that I'm doing the thing instead of trying to have to do the thing with a toddler. Well, that's kind of where I landed on is I wasn't doing well at either one. Like I wasn't being a good small business owner, and I wasn't being a good mom. I was like half doing both things. So
very totally good. I get it. Very I get good. It. And like even now I still, I mean, I have like days and even like weeks, like earlier today I was thinking about like all this stuff on my list and like everything that feels kind of half done. Right. And sometimes it's like figuring, you know, it's getting my mom here to kind of regroup. And other times it's just being like, I'm not going to get that done. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, right. I think a lot of times when things are just sitting on your list for weeks at a time or months at a time, it's so freeing to be like, that's just not happening. Like, I'm not doing that right now. And maybe you'll come back to it. Maybe you won't. But it's so freeing to take it off the list. So
the never ending list. Is your mom available for hire if she took the other 2 weeks? Two of the weeks out of the month came to. There's probably not a direct flight to Springfield, Missouri, but I mean, she could stop off and drive from Kansas City if she
wanted. It's Springfield, Missouri.
There's Branson. There's us.
Mrs. Blaha.
Blaha. If you're listening.
I'll ask her. Okay. I'll check in.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'll get right on that. No.
We would. Now, the cost of everything's less in Missouri, so we would not be paying her well.
Yeah, that's okay. You'd be paying her in like in grandkids. She doesn't.
She would be the title sponsor.
You get it. Elise gets it. Okay, just like tell her just for like hire. That.
Yeah. So okay. So you also you quit blogging and then you, which you're more than blogging. You did the awesome, beautiful Get to Work book. That you decided to focus on that full time. And then when did you decide to do? Last year, you decided to do the new 100 pep talks?
Yeah, so that was probably the coolest thing that happened last year. So I did, there's a project called the 100 Day Project, and Elle Luna is like the kind of founder of it. And so I'd seen people do it probably the year prior, and then this year I was like, I could do that. Like Piper was 6 months old, and so I knew I didn't want to do like a I didn't want to do something physical, right? I didn't want to do painting or like, I mean, that'd be amazing, but I didn't have the time or the energy or the money to get all that. So I said I would just like share a pep talk on Instagram. And so every day for 100 days, I shared a pep talk. Like literally I wrote out a little pep talk.
Okay,
and
I love it.
Yeah, for 100 days. And so then at the end I had, you know, over 10,000 words of these little pep talks. And so I pieced them together and turned them into a book.
And it's so pretty.
And
it is. We're looking at it right now.
Cool. Thanks. Really, yeah. That project was amazing because I realized, you know, how much time, like if you break something up into smaller bits and you do it every single day, you can get a lot done. And yeah. and that was a big lesson. What was also crazy is I got a lot better as the project went by. Like if I reread the first 10 pep talks, they're fine. But as I got to the end, like they were more involved. And to me, they were more, I was just doing a better job at it. So it was a good mm-hmm. lesson too of just like putting in the work, putting in the work, putting in the work, putting in right. the work, and there's payoff. And so that was a good exercise.
I don't think I've done anything I got to have for 100 days in a row.
No, then that's awesome. And that's even so though you're saying that you started and got better, first of all, I believe that if you blogged for that long that you were probably an amazing writer regardless. Right, but true. I was reading one of them and I was like, oh, right. I couldn't do this. She's an amazing writer. She's like writing these like heartfelt pep talks, but now I'm like, well, maybe the first 10 weren't that good.
And then you read them and you're like,
I just need to write them for 100 days and then I would be really good.
Yeah. I need to pick something I'm not good at and try right. it for 100
and
days.
And try to do it for 100 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a good exercise. I'm planning to do it again this year, but I don't know what I will do. I can't do another 100 pep talks. So something.
Like,
but yeah,
I'm out of pep talks.
it could be like 200 depressing thoughts from my
Let's
head.
Even this out.
No.
Let's even
this the pep out. Talks. No, it's really cool looking. Did you do all the photography for it or did you?
Yeah, so that was what was fun is like I got to just like post a random flower and like post, you know, like right, yeah. and play with filters and make things look funny because the photo, the pep talk was like the part, right? It was like the
right,
comment
right,
part.
Right.
That mattered. And right. so I just got to kind of play with photos. And so then at the end, I think I picked 30 of the pictures. They were just all iPhone. Like,
yeah, you know, good. So. They do. They look beautiful.
Yeah, but I got iPhones. To slip, put those in there. So,
so
yeah.
did you find you got more likes on cactus or flowers?
Great question.
Mm-hmm.
cactus.
Solid. Cactus. Cactus for the win.
Elise Man. Is just going to agree with us.
She's awesome.
Lying to us.
Man. That is, she knew the answer, so it was a good question, Katie.
No, that's actually true. People do like cactus.
You slap a cactus on anything. One of our special DIY segments for our first episode?
Yeah, we thought it'd be funny to do audio-only DIYs.
Yeah, we did how to plant
so
a cactus.
So we said we did how to plant a cactus, but we didn't explain how to do it. We just made the
we
sound
showed.
Of it.
We showed them
on our
how
microphones.
To do it. It was
People
good.
Didn't know how to do it. But anyway,
they learned. That's they learned. Why cactus are the new cupcake.
Okay. Yeah. Don't eat cactuses. If you're just tuning in, that's not what she meant.
You can eat cactuses. They're in Mexican restaurants. They are. You can eat cactuses, right?
I think like the milk inside a cactus. There's milk in a cactus.
Yeah, there is.
You can milk it.
You can milk it.
If you're just tuning in.
If you're just tuning in.
Okay,
you
so
can drink cactus
I feel
milk.
Like it would do us a great disservice. We're almost at the end of your time, and thank
right.
you so much. But I think it would do us a great disservice if we didn't ask you just a little bit of about productivity.
Right.
Yeah. So if you just have any one or two tips about staying on task, that
she
would be
wrote
so
the book.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, you literally wrote the book on it. I don't want to give away all your secrets.
Yeah.
You know, anything.
Okay, so great question. I think the first thing, the first tip for productivity is like knowing what you actually have to get done in a certain amount of time. So that's so obvious. But I think that a lot of times, especially when you have chunks of time, like I feel like I have right now with Piper home, I have basically her nap time. And so when she goes down for a nap, I don't want to spend a lot of time like, huh, what do I need to do today? Blah, blah, blah. I want to know. I want to have right. a list. I want to be ready to go. Obviously, like, I have a paper planner. So for me, a paper planner works. But if you have an app, if you have a post-it note, if you have whatever, like a sticky note on your computer, I don't think it matters how you keep your list. I just think it's hugely important to know what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And then kind of with that is just like being honest about how much time things take. I think we very much underestimate how long something is going to take us to do. And so we're like, oh, I'll get that done in an hour. And like 6 hours later, we're still sitting there, which isn't yep. that big of a deal. But if you know, if you're truly honest and you're like, this is going to take me 6 hours, then you don't overschedule. You don't feel overwhelmed. You don't end up with a list of like 8 things you didn't do, you know, and all of that's just a bummer. Like when you have right. some stuff you want to get done and you don't get it all done, you're just sad. So if you're a little bit more honest with yourself and honest about the people you work with about how long things are going to take, I think that can kind of help avoid like obviously overscheduling, but then also just like frustration and burnout. So, that's good. Those are probably my two like biggest things, knowing what you're doing and being honest about how long they take. And then like, I'm just not a perfectionist. Like I like things to be great, but I don't care if they're perfect. And so that helps me a lot, but that's just tricky. You know, that's just practice. I think of like being okay with great, being okay with like very good. Like, why would we not be okay with that? Right.
It's very good.
Right. Yeah. Very good. Like it doesn't have to just be good. Just make it very good and be done. You know, it's never going to be perfect. Right. So I think that kind of acceptance helps too.
That's good. You know what our number one answer to that question is?
Make a list,
which is a great answer, but it's I almost thought we need to stop asking that because our listeners are going to get sick of everyone being like, make a list.
And then people don't.
I know, they don't.
A lot of people don't make a list.
No. But I like that you were like, here's how to properly make a list.
Physically how to do it. Well, and then also breaking down the like, don't, sometimes I think I'm being really great because I'm like, sure, I'll get that for you this afternoon. When I'm like, she could just decide not to sleep. And then I'm like screwed, basically, right. Because I just told him I'd have something by this afternoon and a million things could go wrong. Instead of just saying, I'll have that to you tomorrow afternoon. And they would be like, great, you know.
Yeah, they just want to know.
They don't care. Yeah. I'm setting myself up for failure for my, I call it my boss, which is just my brain. And my boss, my boss rides me hard. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that's so true. And I used to, like, days that I knew that I, you know, you can't count on a nap. Like, you think you can, but you can't. And so that's kind of huge, too, is, like, recognizing that. Right. That's important. That's good. For sure.
We're going to do a giveaway.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Right? Yay. Is that okay if we do a giveaway?
Yes,
On the 100 pep talks. Very excited. Do you have an official hashtag for?
Yeah, you can. Two hashtags. If you search, just like hashtag 100 pep talks book, that you can see where other people have used it. But if you search 100 days of Elise pep talks, then you can actually like read all the pep talks. So it's like you can buy the book or read the book. But I think people like to have it physical anyway. So yeah, that's fine. So you can see them. Both of those places. And then you can actually buy the Pep Talks book at gettoworkbook.com.
Awesome.
But I would love to give one away. Yeah, for sure, to a listener.
Okay, well, I would love to see – I'm just going to throw a contest out there. I would love to see
a pep talk
from them.
Well, they need to make the post can be whatever picture.
Right.
Just like Elise did. But then they – in their comments, they have to do a pep talk.
Okay, cool.
But then they have to –
that'd be fun.
Yeah. Let's do it. So you have to do a pep talk. So listeners – you have to do this. Put it on your list.
Yeah.
And give yourself an ample amount of time. Just kidding. It doesn't
but
have
no
to be.
But no more than
time.
Like 5 minutes. Let's
you
not
get
take
bonus
this too
points
seriously.
For posting a picture of a cactus. and it's a picture and then a quick fun pep talk. You just have to tag. You have to tag at Shaylee and Katie.
Right.
And then you have to tag Elise, which your Instagram handle is?
Elise Joy.
That's right. And no underscore or anything. Okay. So you have to tag Shaylee and Katie, and then you have to tag Elise Joy, and then...
Perfect.
And then post your pep talk, and we'll know.
Yes.
Okay. And then you'll get a book, maybe, if we pick it. We're all three judging, so no pressure. No pressure, people.
I want to. Okay. Can I participate?
We can participate. We'll be like, we only had two entries. It's Shaylee or Katie.
Also, we never released this podcast.
We cut this all out of the podcast, and then we're the only two, and we're like, you pick.
Okay, so now it's time for our segment.
I'm excited.
We are going to play a game with you, and the game is called
Get to work.
Okay, so we're going to explain to you our very, very reasonable reasons for procrastinating.
Reasonable.
And then you can tell us whether they're acceptable or whether we just need to
get to work.
Okay. So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Ooh. Opal's down for her nap. Mm-hmm. I have my checklist.
Yep.
And all the things I need to get done. And I had on a cartoon for Opal. And before I turn it off, I'm just accidentally flipped through. And The View is on. That I don't even like. So unless The View wants to be a guest and I love The View. I don't even know anyone who's still on it. I'm going to be honest.
But I haven't watched it in so long. They're talking about Hot Topics.
Right.
It draws me in. Mm-hmm. I'm a mom. I've had a long day.
Controversial.
Right? It is during her nap, so it's precious, precious time, and I do have my list. But I kind of just want to get a warm cup of coffee and hope that my husband, who also works from home, doesn't come upstairs and catch me not getting to work. I mean, that's fine, right?
Is it fine, or does she need to...
She needs to get to work.
Oh, no.
But here's what I will say that I actually truly feel like is important. What I like to do is be like, unless it's insane, like unless I have a crazy list of things that have to happen, I like to work for an hour and then the rest is free time. So I totally do that. I'll put her down. I will go to my computer. I'll crank out the things I want to do. And then it's an hour. And, like, Piper's, like, naps are maybe an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours if I'm extremely lucky. So I like to do that because I have to have a little – otherwise, I feel like when she wakes up, I'm just like, oh, my gosh. What happened? You know, so
– She just went to sleep.
I'm not against watching TV or whatever. Reading a book or listening to a podcast or playing Candy Crush. I don't care what the thing is. But I think that you do the work first, and then you the baby interrupt your fun time, not the baby interrupt.
And also, it's kind of scandalous. Like, you feel like you're living on borrowed time when you pass that hour, and then you're like – This is like free time that I'm getting back in my life. Yeah.
She turned it into legitimate advice. Okay, I have one.
It's like you should have a podcast or something.
You've got a lot of wisdom.
You have a lot of things to say.
You should share with the world daily, Monday through Saturday.
No, don't do it. Keep doing it.
Blogging's like, I heard that.
Okay, so I have one that's really serious.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm super motivated. I know that they're going to have a nap soon. I've decided to like make my top three list of things I need to get done inside my get to workbook. And then I'm like, this book is so pretty. I'm going to set it right here on my laptop and maybe like slide this cool aloe plant over. Mm. This is kind of looking like a flat lay.
The light's coming in real nice.
And the things I have to do are pretty cool. This is very visually appealing. Mm-hmm. Okay, before I get to work, I'm going to take a picture of it.
Right.
Or like seven. Let's get some angles. Let's filter it. Not that one. Okay, I'll take about an hour to get the right filter. I'm going to post it. People are commenting.
Post a pep talk, though, with it.
I'm going to be like, I have a whole hour to get stuff done. Time to get to work. Hashtag get to work. And then someone commented and was like, you're getting to work. And then I'm going to comment back like, getting to work. And then I'm just going to keep commenting. Is that a good use of the nap or should I just...
Yeah, I would say get to work.
Oh, okay.
The best is at least you were doing one task that whole time for me. Then I find myself on like... This friend's mom's cousin's baby had a baby. Look at the outfit.
I mean, it's so real. Like, obviously, I've been there and I'm there every day. You know, like, I get it. And I think, I know you're joking. I know this is a joke segment, but.
No, hey, our whole podcast is one big joke segment.
That's true.
We sprinkle in the goodness.
Sprinkle
in
wisdom.
Yeah. We sprinkle that in.
Yeah. Ninja wisdom.
It's so real, though. Like, the ability to stall and not work. And so this is actually a good point. I was at this craft fair with Get to Work book and my booth like accidentally was like so intense on your face, like get to work. And people came up to, like one lady came up to me and she was like, so you must really love working. Or like, you know, and she was like kind of joking, it's kind of serious, I think. And I said to her, I was like, you know, I do love to get to work because then I don't have to do it. Like, I like to get the work done and then do all the other stuff. Like, to me, that's the point. I like my work days to go fast and efficient so I can have fun. I waste so much time and I do nothing and I find myself exactly like on some like cheerleading page and I'm like learning all this drama about these squads. You know, like I'm like, what am I doing? So
like, I don't know, dance moms? No.
Yes.
Nobody. Yes.
I all of it. You know, I'm like learning their jargon. I'm searching like, what does that mean? And you know,
you know you're too far. When you're like, yeah. But Sandy came in because she told Anna that Haley's skirt was too short. And you're like, oh, I'm too far. I should have got to work.
No, it's, you know, I do think that there's time for all of it.
Yeah.
But you just have to try the work first.
After the work. And then you can honestly enjoy it instead of feeling guilty like you should be doing work. That's totally. So good. And if you got up before your kids at 6 a.m., which I don't do and need to do, I've been saying for weeks I'm going to do this. One day I'm going to come on and be like, guess who's been getting up early this week? But I'll be all tired because I got up early.
Nuh-uh, I've been doing it for 3 weeks Uh-oh. Straight, listeners. Update. I've done it for three weeks straight.
Katie always one-ups me. But if you get all the work done then before your kid even gets up, and then all day is park and fun. And then watch TV during the naps or whatever you want to do.
Because you've earned it.
You've inspired me to get to work. And it's real.
Great. That's what so good. Great. Happy to hear it.
It's real. Yeah.
You guys are fun. This
you're
fun. Fun.
Thanks. You're fun. Yeah, you're really cool and normal.
Okay, so we're going to start recording the podcast now.
Not like I was worried. I did listen
you're
to a bunch of your
podcasts. You're not the worst.
You're really cool and like a normal.
You're way more normal than I thought you'd be. I want you to end every podcast with like a backhanded compliment that everyone's like,
you're a lot prettier in video than I thought you'd be from all those pictures. No,
that's
someone told me once I was more photogenic and that I should just have like a pen pal dating relationship when I was in high school.
Thanks.
I was like, thank you. It was my brother's friend.
It got sad.
I could only take it really.
We try to end
not
it
very
with,
seriously.
With the sadness. Good job, Shaylee.
No, that's so good. Okay, let's see.
All right, well, we're going to let you get to work.
Thanks. Or to dinner, but that's all right.
Oh, get to eat. That's right. Okay, you have yeah. more hours left in your day than we do. It's been so great. Thank you for
you guys
coming
so much.
On.
Super fun.
Bye.
Tell your mom thanks.
I will.
Thank What's you. Your mom's name?
Oh, Gail is her name.
Gail.
Of course it's yeah. Gail. Thank you, Gail. Doesn't Gail seem like a helpful person?
Gail sounds like Gabriel, the angel that came to help.
Coincidence?
No. I think not.
I'll tell her okay. that. I'll tell her that. Thank you guys. This is so fun.
Thank you for listening to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. You can find us on Facebook or on Instagram at Shaylee and Katie. And if you want to be our best friend, you can leave us a review on iTunes. Those are greatly appreciated. Seriously.